Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Good afternoon. This is Jody Lowe with the Leadership Lowdown, powered by You and Improved. Leadership Lowdown is a radio series dedicated to shining a spotlight on Valley business leaders and sharing the real stories behind their rise to the top. We want to know the truth about what it takes to really succeed in life and in business. And we're here to uncover these leaders' journeys, whether it be the pitfalls, the victories, and of course, all of the heartaches and triumphs that come in between. And today, I am thrilled to have two wonderful ladies with me today, Ms. Abby Fink. And Abby is the Vice President and General Manager of HMA Public Relations. So welcome. So happy to have you here
today.
Yeah, thank you very much. Happy to have you. And then, of course, Ms. Elena Lowry, who is the Editor-in-Chief of the Phoenix Business Journal. So welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's great to be here.
Great to have you both. And I'm thrilled because I've known Elena now for several years, but Abby, we have not connected, or if we have, it's been in various circles. So it's great to get to know you across the mic. So
right. Glad to have to our talk today.
Yes. Yes. Well, and you know, the background behind Leadership Lowdown and why we have this show and created it is really to be able to share, like I said, the stories, the backgrounds. What is it that, you know, what did it take to get to where you are? And from my understanding, I believe it's 23 years now with HMA. Did I get that right?
We're coming up on
25 years. Holy cow. Yeah. So what prompted this? Were you, you know, in the womb saying, I know PR is my gig, or how did it start? Because that's a long career at one place.
Well, not quite the womb, but sixth grade, actually.
Wow.
Was my first public relations experience. The administration at my elementary school decided to take away our graduation dance because some of the kids had been acting up. And I just didn't really think that was fair to those of us that hadn't done anything wrong.
Sure.
So I staged a picket in front of the school and I called one of the local television stations, and reporter came out and did an interview on the corner in front of the elementary school, and we got our dance back.
Oh my.
Now, I don't know that you would call that public relations at that point. I certainly wouldn't have called it that. But if you ask my mother, she will tell you I've always been a busybody and trying to get myself in other people's business all the time.
Oh my gosh.
So fast forward to, you know, college and trying to figure out what it was that I could do as an adult, and kind of found my way to the journalism program and found public relations and said, huh, I think I know what I'm doing here.
This sort of feels like my spot.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, whether it was PR or crisis management, whatever it was, you were there to fix it.
Exactly.
I love that. So now, did you grow up here in Arizona?
I moved here when I was 9 years old. So okay. I've been out here for basically my entire life.
Yeah.
Grew up near the Paradise Valley area.
Okay.
My folks still live in the same house I grew up in.
Isn't that great?
And so I call Phoenix my home. Yeah. I'm an Arizona State grad, and
nice.
I can't think of any place else I'd rather be than living here and growing a business here. And, you know, the community is so tight and so focused on being successful. We're a very entrepreneurial community.
Yep.
So it's really great for small businesses to be successful.
Absolutely.
And here we are.
Absolutely. Well, and I love it. And of course, Phoenix natives or pseudo natives, I call myself one as well. I've lived here since I was five. So at that point, I just round up and say I'm a native.
Right.
but no, it's great to have Valley leaders that, you know, are here and growing their business and bringing more business to the Valley. So it's always wonderful to hear those stories. So you grew up here in Paradise Valley area. Did you go to high school then?
I went to Shadow Mountain High School.
Oh, Shadow Mountain. Okay.
And great. Went to Arizona State University for my undergrad and graduate program.
And that was the Walter Cronkite School?
It was the Cronkite
nice.
School. I was amongst the first couple years of the graduating class when Mr. Cronkite had lent his name to the school.
Isn't
it was very
great.
Prestigious.
Yes.
Had the opportunity to meet him a couple times when he
wonderful.
Came on campus and met with the journalism students.
What a gift that must be.
And it's a real sense of pride. And I think even if, you know, today's generation who may not really know the impact that someone like he had on the industry.
Sure.
But you do recognize the name and you know that there was a certain level of credibility and
yep.
respect mm-hmm. that he carried, and really that generation of news reporters carried. And so to be able to say I graduated from that program is pretty significant.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and being that you were at a young age already kind of doing the work that you do today in a very, you know, different capacity, but, you know, the groundwork of what you do today, how did it evolve from there? You obviously went to ASU, you were studying broadcast journalism or journalism. And how did it evolve from there? What were the first things after school or college that happened for you?
Sure. Well, when I was still in college, I found an organization called the Public Relations Society of America, and that is the professional association for PR practitioners. They had a campus, a student chapter on campus. Mm-hmm. And I got involved with that organization and was had opportunities then to meet with professionals in the community that were doing this work.
Sure.
And as a result of that, I was able to secure an internship right out of college, working for one of the local resort companies. And through that, was introduced to who became my very first boss. And from there, spent a couple years working for another local public relations agency. Mm-hmm. Spent about 5 years working for the Fiesta Bowl following that experience.
Oh, wow.
And then during my time at the Fiesta Bowl, I met my now business partner, Scott Hansen. He was doing the public relations agency work, but he was also a local sportscaster. Mm-hmm. And as a result of my work with the Fiesta Bowl, I was talking to him on a regular basis, telling him the things he needed to do and cover for my events and such. And when an opportunity presented itself to join his firm, I decided to take that opportunity. And that was coming up on 25 years ago.
Isn't that incredible? So the two of you partnered in that. And HMA stands for what?
The company started in 1980 mm-hmm. by a gentleman named Ed Moser. Mm-hmm. So the company was called Moser and Associates, Ed Moser and Associates.
Okay.
Scott purchased the company about 10 years later mm-hmm. and renamed it Hansen Moser and Associates. And then 10 years after that, decided, if you recall, in the year 2000, we thought everything was going to implode and yep. we weren't going to be here anymore. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We thought, well, we should change our name since, you know, we don't know what the world is going to look like. Mm-hmm. So we were always referred to as HMA by shortening it. So we went to that and called it HMA Public Relations. Got and it. We've been that ever since. So we're very proud of our history here. We sure. are one of the oldest continuously operating PR firms in the state, which is a very point of pride for us.
Absolutely.
So I've been with the firm for 25 years and we've got a lot of long-term clients that have been with us, you know, much of that time mm-hmm. and got a great team of people that really help make what we do fun
happen
and yeah. successful for our clients. And really that's the bottom line
Absolutely.
For us.
Absolutely. How big of a team?
We're six people.
Okay. So six people doing a lot of heavy lifting.
Small but mighty.
Yep. Yep. I get that.
Yeah. And that's a good mix for us. It's a good focus for the type of clients that we work on mm-hmm. and it keeps us very connected to each other.
Sure.
We're very much a team that way by having that small camaraderie amongst all of us. So
Absolutely.
it's a good mix for us.
That's wonderful. Yeah. Was it an accident that your first name was Abby?
On the A part?
Yeah.
Well, I will tell people that, you know, HMA really has A as Abby. Yeah.
That's what I always thought. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it should be. Yeah. I mean, I think we can rewrite that story.
I mean, it's our story, right? This is our right. conversation.
You That's can exactly tell it however it you want. You can say we said it here first.
Right.
It was a leadership lowdown. Yeah.
And it came from a journalist. It's a reporter.
See,
it's,
there you go.
It must be true.
It's media and it's true.
Right.
It's absolutely correct. Yes. I love that. And so what are some of the big projects or the most exciting ones over 25 years, there have to have been some really amazing.
Well, I've worked on some really fabulous things and our agency has been involved in a lot of different projects. And I think the ones that resonate the most for me are those projects where we know that we've made an impact mm-hmm. on our community. So we've done a lot of work with the disability community. Mm-hmm. So we've helped change laws. We've helped bring attention to accessibility issues in our community, which is
Great.
Pretty significant.
Absolutely.
We do a lot of work with tribal governments. Mm-hmm. So we've helped bring resources and infrastructure, you know, raise awareness around what the tribal governments are doing internally for their communities. Mm-hmm. And then we've got a lot of nonprofit clients that we work for. We have a lot of business to business organizations, lawyers, bankers, doctors, those mm-hmm. types. And really when it comes down to it, it's any business or organization that has a need to tell their story. Mm-hmm. We have an opportunity to be able to do that. And whatever role we play makes an impact on their organization. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty powerful part of what we get to do. And really, I can point to a lot of things that we're proud of, many of which may not be that widely known because it was just really within a small circle of
Sure.
influencers that business was trying to reach. But at the end of the day, when we can help move that conversation for a client, feel pretty good about what
yeah.
we've accomplished.
So do you feel like, gosh, you know, my favorite or ideal client is X? Like, is there a category of business or a certain...
That's what she'll admit.
Yeah.
I love them yeah. all. I think, I don't know that I would necessarily put them into a category specifically. Mm-hmm. I think where I find the most joy in what I do is really when the client trusts that we know what we're doing. Mm-hmm. We become a part of their team and
Absolutely.
Are seen as an important part of their business strategy. Mm-hmm. And together, we accomplish those things that we set out to do. And
yep.
it doesn't matter the size of the client or how much, how big it is or where they're located. It mm-hmm. really becomes a matter of making that commitment, mm-hmm. and together we see it through.
Yep. Yep. Well, and it's funny that you say that. I get the question a lot of who's your ideal client? Who, what size company do you do training for? And it's exactly the same, you know, whether it's a Fortune 100 company or a small business, it's the mindset of the leadership. It's being forward thinking. It's being committed to the end result of in my case, developing their people. In your case, you know, committed to telling the story and the right fit. So it's interesting because yeah, sometimes it's just not a certain niche or category. It's just what it is. So.
Right. And when the organizational leadership, so whether that's the owner or executive leadership, makes that decision to mm-hmm. to focus on that part of their business,
yep.
it's pretty significant. I mean, it's an investment. It's an investment financially. It's an sure. investment in time.
Yep.
And when they make that commitment because they recognize it, and it really isn't all that different. That's a commitment to their team and their employees,
yep.
which tells that those people that work there, we're making this investment in you.
Right.
What we do takes that investment one step further and says, now we want to show you how important what you do and what we are to this community.
Right.
And we're going to shout it from the rooftops because we're so proud of it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and now with your career, obviously being, you know, with your firm now for 25 years, when you look back, was there a mentor or someone that really either showed you the ropes or who just had such a significant impact on your career, or was it not really unfold that way for you?
No, I can point to a couple of folks. Certainly the folks that employed me at the very beginning, mm-hmm. and who I still see on a regular basis. And in a lot of ways, they forced me to take a look at what I was doing and decide if this was what I wanted to do and mm-hmm. if I was going to make that commitment to it.
Yep.
And so they questioned what I was doing. They made sure I understood. And I still have mentors. And for me, mentors are anyone in that can impact how you do what you do and help you make good decisions.
Yep.
So that can be those that are more senior to me that mm-hmm. have been in the business or been around longer.
Yep.
And I get influenced by my younger professionals that I get the opportunity to interact with as well, because they ask really great questions mm-hmm. and they challenge
right
thinking and force us to think differently about what we're doing.
And the questions they ask are sometimes questions that we don't even think about because we're just not at that level in our lives or, you know, been through some of the growing up the way they have and with technology and those sorts
right.
of things.
So I think mentoring both, you know, mentor up and mentor down, if you will, is
yep.
important.
And, absolutely.
And I can point to, and Elena actually is a good example for me. You know, we met many years ago when she was working for another publication mm-hmm. and I was young in my career. And one of the things that my boss at the time told me is these folks in the media are going to be significant to your career path. You better get to know them.
Right.
And it was the most frightening thing to pick up the phone and say, "Hi, I'm Abby. Can we have lunch?"
Right. Right.
And I'm sure, you know, and probably from a journalist perspective, similarly to pick up the phone and call a source and try to get the stories. But,
sure.
you know, we grew a friendship out of a professional need.
Mm-hmm.
And I still call her and ask for advice and recommendations.
Isn't
and we
great?
Talk and similarly because we're colleagues, but we're friends and
yep.
we've kind of evolved in our businesses together. Mm-hmm. And it's important to keep those relationships throughout your career.
Absolutely.
And so mentoring can come from a lot of different places.
And it's so interesting how that does happen. I was actually having coffee with a colleague, actually someone who I met through Mentoring Monday, speaking of mentoring, which we'll chat about that in a second, I'm sure. But it's so interesting because in our conversation, we were talking about how, gosh, it's so nice to talk with another business owner, not always just about the, you know, how can I support you in your business, but how can I support you? Sometimes you just want to go, am I nuts for thinking this? Or is this a great idea? Or am I off whack? You know, it's nice to have that sounding board of other people that have maybe been in a totally completely different industry or something that parallels what you do or is, you know, in the same wheelhouse, but just to be able to say, okay, you know, no judgment here, but what do you think about this? Or how do you like that? So I love that you've been blessed with having known each other for now, how many years now?
Oh gosh. Almost
30.
Wow. So that's a long standing friendship.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it.
Yikes.
Funny how that math adds up, isn't it? You're like, carry the one. Oh no.
Yeah.
That's a lot of years. That's a lot of years. So for you, when you are obviously working with clients and different projects, is there something in particular that's your favorite piece of the business?
Oh goodness. I think for me, that's changed over time as well. When we hit the moment where we are in our stride and we're getting it in the same way that the client wants us to get it. And whatever we've set out to do, we're actually getting to be doing that.
Yep.
So I get so much excitement out of watching that happen. And I equally as excited when I see my team accomplishing those things as well. Mm-hmm. So pick a project. You know, we need to get a story placed in the business journal on a client or on an executive profile. And we brainstorm what our topic is going to be and how should we approach this and what it's going to look like. And we have that conversation with Elena or somebody on her team and they say yes. Mm-hmm. And we get that reporter and we sit down and we have that conversation. And a couple weeks later, we open up our copy of the business journal and there it is. And there is nothing more exciting than that. And because it takes a lot to do that.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's only so many weeks in the year for that publication to be out and so many wonderful executives in our community that can be profiled. And we got one.
Now you've got something tangible. Yeah.
And it is pretty powerful when that happens. And it's exciting for me to watch that happen with my team.
Sure.
And whether it's the first time it's happened or the 100th time it's mm-hmm. happened, it is still a pretty powerful moment when Absolutely. We do that. And then to be able to get that to the client and say, this is what we said we were going to do. We did it. And they just beam.
Right.
With, you know, and you come back to their office a few weeks later and it's framed in their office.
Right. You're like, oh my gosh, there it is. We helped create that with you.
That's and you've been exciting. Copied on emails where they've sent it out to their friends and family.
Right.
Because
right.
no matter how old we get, we still want our friends and
so
family
excited.
To be
You're
proud
like, look,
of what we're doing. so that's pretty exciting
that's
for
great.
Us.
That's yeah. great. That's awesome. That's wonderful. So clearly there's obviously lots of joy in what you do. It's emanating from you. When you are not doing all of this that you do on a daily basis, what else do you love to do? What fills you up?
Oh, sure. That's a really good question. I am an avid reader.
Okay.
And today reading is across multiple devices and
yes.
various things.
Yes.
So, but there is nothing like a good book, an mm-hmm. actual physical book.
Yep. Are you a physical book girl?
I'm
a total physical,
I'm a physical book,
girl. Book. I can't get onto this electronic thing. Yeah. I don't know why. I just need the book.
And I still read the newspaper, an yep. actual physical newspaper. Mm-hmm. So I enjoy that. And I'm the kind of person that if there's nothing better to read in the cereal box is in front of me, I'll read the cereal
right.
box.
Right. You're just a reader.
I'm a
just
reader.
Who you are.
I enjoy traveling mm-hmm. And I get to do a little bit of that for work mm-hmm. and for pleasure. So
Which
I
great.
Enjoy that. And I'm a bit of a foodie. So, you
nice.
Know, Arizona has quite a lot of restaurant options
We've
to choose
gotten
from.
So good. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, there's always someplace new or exciting or something that's been here that I've never gone to that I'm like, oh, I've never even heard of that. Why?
So, yeah, I don't know. I won't know the statistics specifically, but I think there's something that says you can basically get a new restaurant every day of the week and never repeat yourself.
Oh,
and,
my.
Yeah. All within kind of, yeah.
Well, I can tell you that 40 restaurants opened in March.
40.
Is that really the case?
Because those 40? Are the kind of stats that show
yeah, these,
up in my
these
head.
Are the things that Elena knows. You know, my gosh, the wealth of information in that mind of yours. Yeah. But you know what? It is interesting because as the Phoenix Business Journal kind of daily email that I get, I'll see these things. I'm like, 40? 40 new restaurants? What? I mean, it's crazy. The growth is amazing. But that's great for foodies, right?
It's excellent for foodies. So if there were 40 restaurants, I still got a bunch of time I need to get myself
Yeah, exactly.
After.
You got to get out there. Got to get
All
out
right.
there. Get on it.
Done.
So with your career and over these 25 years, what would you say was the most difficult thing that you endured during that span of time?
Well, there's certainly been some client challenges that, you know, have presented themselves that mm-hmm. have, you know, forced me to think differently and be more aware of
right.
my surroundings. You know, some of the work we do is crisis communications mm-hmm. and issues management. So there have been some difficult situations there. I think though but that's part of what I do.
Right.
That is part of why I went into this business is to help in that situation as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think the things that challenge me the most are on a more personal level with the people that I get to work with and interact with. And when they're struggling, either personally or professionally.
Sure.
And because we are a small office, that impacts all of us. And so how to help
something there.
And be the mentor, be the ear that listens to the challenges. I'm also the boss. So how do I make sure that there's a, you know, I play those roles correctly.
Yep. Wearing all the hats.
And give the team or the individual on the team the space they need to, you know, work through whatever that might be and mm-hmm. then come out on the other side of it. And mm-hmm. whether they're struggling with a client related issue or they're struggling from something on a personal perspective. Mm-hmm. So that's probably the toughest part. Is really the people
mm-hmm.
and the impact that things are happening around them and to them
yep.
on what we do as you know business owners and managers.
Yep.
But contrast that, then there's the other side of that. And when we solve whatever that is, or they solve whatever that is,
absolutely,
and we can move forward from that.
So. Yeah. Well, and I think there's been a big shift. I mean, I noticed it from my perspective in my line of work, but I do think there is a big, big shift of companies really taking a different view of people. Of really starting to say, you know what, maybe it's time that we don't look at people as commodities. And we really realize, wow, the bigger we invest in them with our time, our attention, training, development, whatever that might be, the more that we do that, wow, that means we're not hiring and retraining and releasing great talent. You know, wow, that investment in them makes sense. So I love that you take the time and really get to a depth of what's going on personally, you know, because, you know, as much as we like to think that we leave work at work and, you know, home at home, it just doesn't work that way.
And, we're a small team. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, we can't silo somebody who's having a bad day and stick them down the hallway.
Right, I mean,
we're all right there. And right. So, and it's obvious when somebody's, you know, struggling that mm-hmm. that's happening. And, you know, it doesn't mean that we're going to get in everybody's business all the time either, but there's an impact that they coming into the office on whatever else is doing in their world has. And
right.
So if we were bigger or we had a different makeup, who knows how that would play out. But mm-hmm. the way we are today and the structure that we have, mm-hmm. it's important that, you know, we all recognize what that looks like and give each other the space to come up with it. And then know that we're there to support it if we need to do that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I mean, and it's key. It's really paramount to have that kind of an environment. So I love that you've created that and continue to help facilitate that, because that's big. Well, one of the things that I love to do as part of the Leadership Lowdown is ask a series of questions. And I don't know if you've had a chance to tune into prior shows, but there's a series of questions that was actually part originally of a French TV show that then became part of a TV show here in the States called Inside the Actor's Studio.
I love that show.
Oh my gosh. Isn't it so much fun? James Lipton. Yes. I will never ever be able to fill James Lipton's shoes or speak in that beautiful voice of his. However, I think the questions are brilliant. So if it's okay with you, I would love to get your answers to some of these fun questions. You up for it?
Sure.
Okay, perfect. So Miss Abby, what is your favorite word?
Joy.
Hmm, I like that. And what is your least favorite word?
Unfortunately.
Okay, so why? I gotta know.
Because I think we use that word to not do something. Unfortunately, we can't return that item. Unfortunately, we can't seat you where you want to seat. Mm-hmm. You've made the choice to not put me there. It's not unfortunate. You decided to not put me there.
That was your conscious choice and decision.
Right. So unfortunate
for you.
Yeah, it is very unfortunate.
It's unfortunate that we use unfortunate.
Yes.
That's great. I love that. I love that. You can tell she's a reader.
Should I be writing my answers down?
No. Off the cuff, sister.
You just have more time to think about them.
Exactly. Don't think. Okay. Thinking's overrated when it comes to this. So Abby, what turns you on creatively, spiritually, or emotionally?
When people are happy with what they're doing.
Nice. So what turns you off?
Grumpy people.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of them. There's a lot of joyful people to your favorite work, but yeah, there's a lot of grumpy people. That's a short trip on this planet.
Yes.
I always think, my gosh, lift your head up and look around, and there's a lot of good stuff. So love it. What is your favorite curse word? You are allowed to swear on air. I'm just letting you know if you choose to.
Shit.
It's a good one, isn't it? Sometimes there's just nothing. There's nothing that quite suffices as that.
And when I can't say shit, I'll always say oy vey.
Yeah. Oy vey is a big one in my house. Yes. It's a big one in my house.
It works for all sorts of things.
Yeah. My grandmother always kind of laughs. She's 99 and a Holocaust survivor. And she'll look at me and she's like, really?
Well, then she probably does oy vey's mirror.
Yeah. There's a few of those that happen. So I love it. What sound or noise do you love?
When my dog barks when I get home.
Aw. Happy puppies are a good day. Mm-hmm. What kind of dog?
She's a little dachshund chihuahua mix.
Oh, that's got to be a cute dog.
Ooh, and her name's Hildy.
Hildy. That's cute.
Hildy.
That's very, very cute. And what sound or noise do you hate?
Fingernails on the chalkboard.
Just the worst. And our kids, you know what? I think we talked about this not too long ago. Our kids, I have two daughters who are 10 and 13. They don't know what that is anymore. It's all smart boards. And like, you don't get the joy of somebody doing that and just feeling the chills down your spine like we did. Yeah, that's a good one though. I love it. What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
Well, I always said if the PR gig didn't work out, I would go work in a bookstore. Mm. So as long as there's still a place for me to do that, that is probably where I'd go.
And are we talking like a Barnes and Noble or a Changing Hands?
More of a Changing Hands.
Yeah. Yeah. A little bit more the
local, independent.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Awesome. And what profession would you not like to do?
Dentist.
Yeah. Do you not like going to the dentist?
I don't
too?
Mind going to the dentist. Okay. The thought of being
like putting your hands
in other people's mouth.
Yeah.
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 Not for me.
I'm with you. And if heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gate?
She's going to say, come on in, sit down, let me pour you a glass of wine.
Ooh, I so love everything about that because it had the she, it had the wine. I loved it. I loved it. And you owned that. I love it. I love it. That was very confident in that answer. I love it. Well, I so appreciate you making time to be here today and such a pleasure to meet you. And I'm so fortunate that Elena introduced us today. If people want to learn more or connect with you, what is the best way to do that?
Well, we have a website at hmapr.com.
Okay.
And you can find us on Facebook at okay. HMA Public Relations.
Wonderful. And are you able to stick around while we chat a little bit more with your friend of 30 years?
I would love to.
Wonderful. Thank Wonderful. You. Well, I'm thrilled. And thank you for being here. And of course, Miss Elena, we have known each other. I'm doing the math on this one, and it certainly has not been 30 years, but it's been a good maybe 5, 10. I don't even
at
know.
Least,
at
yeah.
least. At least. And yes. Certainly crossed paths many times through all the fantastic Phoenix Business Journal events that you do.
Yeah, which are always fun. It's always fun when it's like old home week sometimes.
Yeah.
When I go to some of our events and you guys are all there.
Yeah, it's like, hey, these are my people.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's not work for me at all. I love it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, and now you've had quite an interesting career as well. Also many, many years of doing what you do. So how did that all start? Because you've been here most of your life as well.
Actually, you guys were both here before me. I didn't come till after college.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I, for whatever reason, I thought it was even earlier than that.
So. No, I'm just old.
Yeah. Okay. No, so, you're so not.
So I like many, many people who come here from Illinois.
Uh-huh.
Kind of decided I was tired of shoveling snow. So where else could I go?
So it was a weather thing for you.
It pretty much was a weather thing. I didn't really have anything keeping me back in Illinois. And my parents had always said that they were going to, you know, retire out west. And I was a late baby. So I knew that wasn't going to be very long because it was. And it actually wasn't. It was just a few years after I moved out here that they moved out here.
Oh,
so
great
it worked out
that?
Really well.
Yeah, actually. That's wonderful. That's wonderful.
So yeah, I still had that support. But after college, I got a degree in communications. Mm-hmm. We didn't have journalism. We definitely didn't have the Walter Cronkite School of Journalism and Mass Communication where I went to school, which is the University of Illinois.
Yep.
So I got a degree. And like Abby, which this is the first time hearing that she was in sixth grade when she decided that this is what she was born to do.
To do, yeah.
I too was in sixth grade working for the little junior high newsletter that we had, only because I had somebody say, you should go work for the newsletter, or you should, you know, go write for the newsletter. So I did that. And from there, it just kind of blossomed, I guess, from junior high to high school to, you know, the yearbook and the newspaper. Yeah. I was the editor for the newspaper in high school. And then I just figured, why not? Isn't so that that's why I went to school and got a degree and worked for a couple places in Illinois. I did work for NBC for a while, which was broadcast. I was writing scripts and producing and that kind of thing. I really didn't like that. It was a very cutthroat industry.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just not a cutthroat kind of person.
Right.
So I thought, you know, I'm going to stick with the newspaper side. And, you know, of course that was before the internet and before the craziness and
everything,
you
changed.
Know, the media really meant something. And, you know, so it was, you know, and it was just one of those careers that, you know, I thought I could be really happy at. And
mm-hmm.
clearly it's worked out for me.
It has beautifully.
Yeah. So I got out of school and stayed in Illinois for a little while. Mm-hmm. I was working at NBC for a couple of years. And then I worked for one of the dailies in Chicago. It was not the Tribune or the Sun-Times. So mm-hmm. I had not made it to the echelon of, you know, working for the big boys. But it did give me a lot of solid experience in community journalism, mm-hmm. which ended up being very helpful because when I did decide to leave and come to Arizona, I had no contacts. I didn't know anybody. I didn't have a job prospect.
So you really just came here blindly.
Well, I was on my way to California.
Yeah.
And
it was a pit stop and I just didn't leave.
And it was a pit stop. My mom said, oh, I have a friend who lives in Chandler. And, you know, that long ago, Chandler was kind of
the boonies,
very far away, and there wasn't much there. And I've promised Karen that I wouldn't make fun of Chandler. But yeah, so she took me around, showed me, and I thought, you know, there's a lot of opportunity out here. There's probably something to this place. And so I thought, okay, I'll stay.
That's a lot of foresight back then.
Well, yeah. You know, I didn't really know what I was getting myself into.
Right.
So yeah, so I couldn't find a job right away. So I relied on retail, mm-hmm. like many of us have done. Sold shoes.
Yeah. That's gotta be fun.
It was. I had my dad had a shoe store when I was growing up, so it was sort of in my blood, I guess.
Yeah.
So I did that to pay the rent and then answered an ad for independent newspapers. They were looking for an editor. And, you know, I hadn't really done that before. I had only been a reporter, but
why not? Give it a shot.
Yeah. So I went in and I interviewed, and either they were very desperate or I really sold them on my talents, because they hired me literally the next day. I got a phone call.
That's wonderful.
So, which is great. Yeah. So, so I started there, and independent newspapers laid the foundation and the groundwork for everything that I was to do afterward. Wow. It was a very, very small operation where you really did everything. Wow. And there was so much that I had not done that I had to learn very quickly. And fortunately, there were people there that were patient and that were willing to show me what to do.
Yeah.
And within a period of time, I was doing what I had to do, and I think was successful at it.
Absolutely.
So yeah, I stayed there for 7 years.
Okay. And that's quite a while.
For that particular kind of journalism, mm-hmm. it actually was a while. Mm-hmm. But I loved it. Mm-hmm. And I loved the people I was working with. I loved the community that I got to cover. And
you were writing, reporting, like you were doing it all.
I was taking photos. Yeah, everything.
Oh, got it. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Jack of all trades.
Layout and design.
Yeah.
back when we had actual type that we were cutting off of.
Oh my
remember
gosh.
Cutting the little period off the end of the.
Yeah. Well, we talk about, in my office all the time about, you know, copy editing and which was not backspace, you know, it cut and paste. It was legitimately with the scissors cutting and pasting. They don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. No, but I do. We used to have to like cut the tail off of a comma to make it a period.
Wow.
Because it was like a mistake in the line of type. I'm telling you, I'm old.
No, it's just the way it is.
Yeah.
It's the way it is.
So, which thank God. I mean, thank God technology has changed all that.
Makes life a lot easier.
Pretty sure I'd be blind by now, if nothing else. Yeah. So I was kind of recruited to the Business Journal, had not written anything about business, at least that I thought was business to business. Mm-hmm. Had done, like I said, a lot of city council meetings, a lot of school board meetings.
Yep.
Which was great. I loved it. But this was a whole new world. Mm-hmm. And
and that was in what year?
That was in 95.
Okay.
I don't know. So today's my 23rd anniversary at the Business Journal.
Today?
Yes.
Today.
Well,
happy anniversary. 23 years.
Yeah. So, so do the math.
I was going to say, you started when you were five. That's amazing.
How about that, right?
Amazing how you did that.
Yeah, I was in sixth grade.
No. Yeah, exactly.
They hired me. I was sort of like back as a reporter was the reason they hired me. And mm-hmm. I had this big head by that time because I was an editor for 7 years at the Independent. And so I thought, oh, I don't know. You know, I really liked this editor thing. I'm important. I got to meet a lot of people. I don't know if I want to go back to being a reporter, but I took the job because I figured I should. It was a step up and, you know, more money and all of that. And within 6 months, I had convinced them that they needed an editor. Focus sections and their special sections and everything. So that's what I ended up doing. But all the while I was still, you know, filling in as a reporter, because in most newsrooms, even though we had probably three times as many people back then, mm-hmm. it was still not enough. The Valley was growing. Phoenix was, was very vibrant, and, you know, it was hard to cover everything.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, when we were trying to cover real estate and healthcare and, you know, all of the things that there were to cover. Mm-hmm. So I convinced them that they needed an editor, and they let me do it. And, you know, I was trying to cover banking and finance and tourism and hospitality.
So many categories.
So many things. And it worked out for the best. I had a great editor at the time who, John Genzali, who, you know, took a chance on me, mm-hmm. and just let me kind of do what I needed to do and stay out of my way. And
Yeah,
you know, he gave me tough love when he had to and pretty much left me alone the rest of the time. So
that's awesome. Was there a piece of advice that he gave to you that's kind of stuck with you over the years?
Trust your gut.
Trust your gut. I love it.
Yep. He used to always say that.
I just said that to my daughter yesterday, 13. I was like, you know what, honey, you just trust your gut.
Yeah, it's good advice.
True, though. It's great advice because it does. I mean, that initial instinct. And I'm sure in your line of work, too, there's a lot of that. There's got to be that. This feels right. Or no, this just doesn't.
So. Every day.
Yeah, really. Mm-hmm. It's an everyday thing.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? So with all of your tenure at the Business Journal, but that, you know, in your line of work, is there something in particular, you know, that just lights you up, that you just love about it? Or is it the whole variety?
I love the storytelling component. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love being able to provide information for people, excuse me, that will help their businesses grow.
Yeah.
And that's really the key for us. I love talking to entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
They just are filled with ideas.
Yeah.
They're so energetic. Mm-hmm. And I think the other part that I really love is the opportunity that has given me to teach at the Cronkite School, which I'm able
that's
to do.
So and exciting.
That's kind of my way of giving back to students who are coming into the industry at a time when it's, you know, very volatile and
ever-changing.
And ever-changing. And
yeah.
Yeah. So, I have had that opportunity, which has been great. But I don't know that there's that many people who can say that they've stayed at one publication for decades. Mm-hmm. They're great at what they do, and they've moved around and they've been recruited by other publications, and mm-hmm. But there's something about being in one place for that long that you know, you've got that feeling, and you know this, Abby, because you're in the same position. Mm-hmm. You just that feeling of family. We also have a very small staff. There's only 10 people in editorial. Mm-hmm. So it's always been, we've always had an environment that's been very family oriented, mm-hmm. Very much about, you know, about the people. And so, you know, you have to love that.
Yeah.
You can't be in that environment and not, enjoy coming to work every day. And,
absolutely.
You know, plus every day is different for us. So that's kind of,
that is true. I mean, you've got more variety than most. So that's gotta be nice. Is there, when you look back, anything in particular that was like that standout, like, wow moment for you where that was just a tough thing that you didn't know how you were going to get through or what it looked like?
Yeah. There've been several over the years. I think for me professionally, it was probably stepping into the editor's position like very, very shortly before 9/11.
Oh, wow.
Because that was, we didn't know how to cover it. We didn't know what to do. We didn't know how it was going to impact Arizona or the business community. And we just came together as a really strong team. And for many, many weeks following that tragedy, we found ways to help our readers, help businesses in Arizona kind of get through and get past that difficult time, you know, because mm-hmm. their businesses in many cases were going to fail.
Yeah.
For lots of reasons.
Right.
That was, you know, that obviously was the, you know, was the sounding off point. Mm-hmm. But you know, so I think that was really hard. You know, and then having a stretch, like, you know, having to cover the recessions, mm-hmm. Plural.
Yeah.
You know, that's always hard because you see so many businesses struggle.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's always going to be bad news.
Yeah.
It you know,
feels and, heavy
and I
negative.
Like, I, you know, and I like good news. I mean, I know you can't be in this business and say, I just want to write about the good stuff, but you know, that's the stuff that really is exciting to me is people who are successful and people who are succeeding and who are doing, you know, outrageous, you know, things. And, you know, those are the, you know, those are the people that are fun to write about. But
sure.
There was a period of time where, you know, every single story we wrote was just negative.
Oh.
And that's hard.
Yeah. Do you feel like that you would take that energy home with you, or was it hard to separate that?
Oh no, I took that energy home with me.
Yeah.
We were working long days.
Sure.
You know, even, you know, in some cases back then we still didn't have, you know, there was no social media, which, you know, and I've said this before, is a blessing and a curse mm-hmm. in this industry. So we just were working really long hours to provide that information in all of the ways that we had at the time. Mm-hmm. And that's only, you know, gotten more difficult, mm-hmm. you know, as we've transformed and transitioned into where we're at today.
Sure. So. When you think back, cause you brought up 9/11 and literally a matter of months ago, I was in New York actually a week ago, but I was there, a few months ago and went to the 9/11 museum and, you know, just reliving it and just seeing it and seeing the live video coverage and all of that. When you think back to that day and that time, how did you separate yourself from the actual emotion and feelings, fear, you know, whatever it might have been for you? How did you find yourself able to still report, but also separate the personal part of it?
Well, back then for me, my dad was still alive and he was a huge baseball fan. Mm. And having the Diamondbacks going to the World Series, you know, right after that all happened.
Yeah.
The first month afterwards was just a blur.
Yeah.
I think it was a blur for everybody. It didn't matter what industry you were in. It didn't matter who your clients were. It didn't matter what you were writing about. It was just a blur. Mm-hmm. So as the Diamondbacks got into the World Series, it was really nice being able to come home after a horrible day and just watch the game with my dad. So that was actually my release.
Sure.
I was always really excited that he got to see them in the World Series, but I was so sad that he had to witness 9/11 because then he died November 8th.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was always something that just kind of stuck with me. I remember like the last fun thing we did was we saw the parade when the Diamondbacks won the World Series,
right?
And beat the Yankees, and then they had the big parade for him in town and everything. And we couldn't go to the parade, but we watched it on TV, and that was really fun. So it really was kind of that escape,
right?
And finding
sort of found
things,
refuge in
yeah,
in
just
that.
Finding other things that were completely and totally different. But I'll tell you, when you're a journalist and when you work in this business, you really don't ever turn it off.
Yeah.
You just don't.
Do you find yourself, because I've always been fascinated. I was a communication major at ASU and I worked in radio, actually in more of the business development side right out of school. So this whole world of media has just always been fascinating to me. But do you find yourself, you know, you're going out to dinner, you're just out with friends. Do you find yourself just stories are like coming at you and you can't turn it off? Because I would think that's how it is,
yeah,
but I don't know. Maybe
that
I'm
is how
even...
it is. And here's how bad it really is. I find typos on menus.
Oh, yeah. I do that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just
it's
always
the worst.
Every magazine worst. You read.
Yeah, everything. Yeah. Which is why it's funny because I used to love to read, but we've been so inundated with so much stuff that now for me to, you know, my escape is picking up a book and, you know, and write and reading it. But it for so long it's been business books.
Yep.
And professional help books.
Yep.
And, you know, things, you know, to help me in my career. And you know, so now I've found myself turning to the Hallmark Channel.
Yeah.
Kind of
something
basis.
A little lighter. Yep, absolutely. Well, and it's funny that you say that about the typos, because I think if you are either a writer or reader, somebody who's just has that language arts piece to them. My nickname was Red Pen, so I'm right there with
you. There you go.
Because it's almost like a neon sign. So I feel you. But I just always have wondered if you're in that space, if you just feel like stories are all around you all the time and it's hard to kind of maybe.
Well, they really are. I mean, you know, for us, every story is a business story.
Yeah.
So I'm always finding the business. I'm always like, what's
the business angle?
What's the business angle?
Yeah.
How does that impact businesses?
Yeah.
It could be completely something in left field and I'll be sitting there wondering how it impacts, you know, Valley businesses.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, it's a little hard to turn off.
Is it difficult? Because obviously there's many stories to share in the Valley. And then there's probably a lot of people that would love to have you share their story. So how do you delicately handle that when it's like,
I don't know, Abby, how do I delicately handle that?
She is very professional when she tells me no.
Yeah.
And you know what? And that's fine because you're absolutely right. Not every story that is
newsworthy.
I will say every story is newsworthy. Mm-hmm. It may not be newsworthy for the publication that or the document that she's putting out.
Right,
so
right.
I think so. And I think if and it goes back to for me the you know the relationships that we develop with you know the media from my perspective are my partners. There is as much a part of my success as my team is.
Right.
And so for me to have a relationship with Elena and others that are in that world that I can be open and honest with, I think this is a good idea. This is why, you know, list out my thoughts and have the response. Yes, that's great. Or no, not now. Or no, not ever.
Mm-hmm.
And be honest with me because we're very persistent as well.
Yes.
So we'll keep at you. You tell me something. So tell me something and then we can move on.
Move on. Right.
And that's been, I think that's across the majority of, the professionals in the media industry.
I'm sure.
They've got a job to do.
Mm-hmm.
We're part of doing that job too. And
right.
So if we keep that relationship professional and recognize the role we both play in it, we both get what we need in the end.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, we need each other. I mean, that's really what it boils down to.
Yep.
And it always helps, you know, having people in the profession on both sides that understand what the end game is, mm-hmm. that understand what our limitations are, that mm-hmm. understand the actual publication and who our readers are. Mm-hmm. And so there's that, the relationship that Abby talks about, is personal, mm-hmm. absolutely personal, but it's on a much higher level. There's all of these things that people don't necessarily realize. And so there are people out there who, when I do have to say no, and mm-hmm. sometimes I do for all kinds of reasons, mm-hmm. They're not happy, obviously, but they don't get it. Right. And it's that feeling of, you know, if you really understood the industry, or you really understood what our limitations are as the business journal, mm-hmm. That no probably wouldn't have hurt as much.
Right.
It wouldn't have stung.
Right.
Because you kind of get it, and you know that maybe not this time around, mm-hmm. you know, that we won't get to that profile this time around, mm-hmm. but you know what? We'll remember that. And the next time you pitch a good, you know, story or a good profile or whatever, we'll be on top of it.
Sure.
And that's really kind of that, you know, that's the relationship.
Do a lot of people come to you outside of PR firms, but come to you individually, or do you not?
No, they come to us all the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we talked a little bit about entrepreneurs and small businesses here in the Valley. There's so many of them, and you know, they can't all afford HMA or a PR firm or whatever. And so, somebody will give them some advice mm-hmm. that says, call the business journal. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I do get a lot of phone calls, and, you know, sometimes those work out just fine without having, you know, a press release that went along with it. It's just somebody who has a good story to tell.
Sure. Sure.
And being able to recognize that.
Right. Right. Is there a certain sort of mental list or list of criteria that you look for, or is it, again, going back to the trust your gut?
Well, it's a lot of trusting my gut. Mm-hmm. It depends on the story. I mm-hmm. mean, if it's an entrepreneur story, for example, you know, a lot of private companies, they won't really want to give us any of their financials or any of their revenue or, mm-hmm. and I get that. It's a private company, and, you know, you mentioned being in people's business. Well, we're in the business to be in people's business. We're mm-hmm. a newspaper and we're a business publication. So we like numbers, and we mm-hmm. like certain things in our stories, mm-hmm. Like financials. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times people will pitch a story that they think needs to be told. And usually it's a good pitch, but then we get into, well, we would like to talk to your CEO, or we would like to make sure that we have those revenue figures, or we would like to make sure that we can show that there's been growth in your company. And one way to do that is by giving us the numbers. And then all of a sudden, oh no, I didn't think I'd have to give you any of that information. So no, can you do the story anyway?
Right.
And so when you talk about criteria, it depends on the story. So the entrepreneur stories, we kind of look for certain things. Mm-hmm. The profiles, and Abby knows this. I mean, we want interesting people. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we think we're getting interesting people because their pitch to us is really interesting people. And then we go and interview them. And it's kind of like that late night talk show where you're getting where your guest is giving you one word answers.
Yeah.
And you're just stuck.
You're like, this is painful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's just, you know, and that comes through painfully mm-hmm. in the story that you write. So, you know, we will go back to the person who pitched that story and say, what were you thinking?
Right. Right. You know? Like, what was going on here?
So that's happened.
Well, you know, I think a piece of advice, especially for those that are, you know, may not be able to bring on someone like our company or internally, is read the paper. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, and whether that is actually get it and physically hold it in your hand or in any number of ways that you can get that delivered to you. But the best way to find out if you are a good fit for any publication, but in particular a business journal, is read the paper itself. Yep. And read it over, you know, 3-4 weeks, so you can see the types of things that they are covering and the mm-hmm. information that is available in a story that is comparable to what you think you might be a good fit for.
Right.
And then find out who's writing those stories mm-hmm. and what, you know, what they look for. Is it reporters have styles, and they, mm-hmm. and you can kind of see what they like and the types of stories and beats that they cover on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. And you get to know them a little bit, and you are much more likely to get the attention. You still may not get the story placed at that moment, but you're more likely to get the attention of the editor or the reporter, mm-hmm. if you've done a little bit of homework
beforehand.
Just because you're in business doesn't mean your story is a business journal story.
Right.
There's a lot of other places that might go. And it might be that you just, again, you opened your doors today. They need a little bit of history. They need a little bit of track to see that you're going to be there next week when your story actually comes out.
Absolutely.
And so if you do your own homework before you, you know, decide that you're going to pick up the phone or send an email, you'll be that much more
absolutely. Well, and I think that's a great point, because not every, to your point, that every story is newsworthy, but maybe not in this publication or that publication. You have to find the right audience, the right niche.
Well, and
right
now you have to take it to another level, because it may not just be, it may just not be the right format.
Right.
So, you know, we do so much online that is different than what we do in print. Mm-hmm. And every publication out there now, you know, maybe it's a podcast, you know, maybe what your story really is the CEO talking to somebody or, you know, whatever. And so there's so many different ways to get your story across. Mm-hmm. You need to figure out what's going to work best for you.
Sure.
And having relationships with people in the industry, use them to your advantage.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, if a story's not right for the business journal and, you know, and a lot of them aren't, I'm not just going to hang up on you. I'm going to give you a suggestion about, you know, well, why don't you try this? And have you talked to this person or, the Arizona Republic, they have this section. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's face it, we're competitors, but we're not. And we do something very different. We're a very niche publication, you know, that covers very focused on business. So, you know, I may send you down the road.
Refer you somewhere else. Absolutely. Yeah. When you look back now, Elena, on your career, is there anything that you think, gosh, I wish I would have done that differently or made a different choice?
You know, I'm not big on regrets. Mm-hmm. And I don't really think in terms of what if. Mm-hmm. So, no, everything happens for a reason.
Yeah.
I'm just that kind of person.
Yeah.
So where I'm at today is because of where I was at 20 years ago and then 8 years before that.
Absolutely. And
I don't know that there's anything that I would done. Because here's the other thing. You don't know what you don't know.
Yep.
So as long as I don't know, then I can't say that I would do it differently.
Right. Right. Well, that's great. That's great. Sound advice as well. Sometimes you just have to be in the moment and let it all unfold as it should. So, well, now it's your turn. So you get to have the fun questions, and I know you have not been mentally preparing because I've been talking with you. So, so here goes. What is your favorite word?
Happy.
Oh, we got happy and joy. No wonder you two have been friends for 30 years. I love it. I love it. What about your least favorite word?
Can't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's unfortunate when people use can't, isn't it?
Exactly.
Sorry, I had to go there. What turns you on creatively, spiritually, or emotionally?
I think a good backstory.
Okay.
Because it can be emotional, it can be spiritual, it could be about somebody creative.
Uh-huh.
I really like to hear about how people got to where they are. I think you can learn a lot when you just shut up and listen, and that's what I enjoy doing. I like people telling me who they are.
I love it.
Why they are.
I can relate. That's the reason Leadership Lowdown exists, because I'm like, I want to hear the backstory. How'd you get there? What was it like? You know, so I love that. I love that. That's perfect. What turns you off?
That was a lot of dead silence. Wasn't
it? That was a tougher one.
There's so many things. People who are not, I was going to say people who are not honest, but there's too many of those. Mm-hmm. Just people who are not sincere.
Okay. Okay. And when you say insincere or say not sincere, are you not authentic? Is it an inauthenticity of just pretending to be someone they're not? Or
Or just, you know, I mean, and I don't like people who say one thing and do another.
Right.
They say they're going to do something and then they don't do it.
Or follow through.
So, I mean, to me, that all kind of is wrapped up in that. How sincere are you really in life and in business?
Right. Yeah. All of areas of your life. Got it. So here's the big one. What's your favorite curse word?
I really don't want to say it.
You don't have to.
I'm not going to, but I hate that word.
Okay.
In every way that it's used, which now seems to be in general conversation.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So it starts with an F.
Okay. And you don't like it or you do?
I don't.
That's your favorite.
That's my least favorite.
Oh, that's your least favorite. Okay. Do you have a favorite curse word?
I swear a lot.
No. Abby's looking away. Oh my gosh, if I could only have a camera for you all to see Abby rolling her eyes.
Unfortunately, I'm a very sincere person and I will not answer that question.
Okay, thank you.
I really don't swear
a lot. So
Oh my gosh. Okay, we'll just leave it at that.
Okay,
we'll leave it at that. I'll let you guys figure that one out. So, what sound or noise do you love?
do I love? Mm-hmm. Well, I can't steal Abby's because I love when Harley barks. Harley's my lab. When I come home, he's right there with a toy waiting for me and I can hear him out in the garage, you know, as I'm trying to get in the house. So I do love that sound. Mm-hmm. But I also really like the sound of rain. Mm. I know that sounds really cliche.
No.
But we get so little of it.
Hey, we've got to embrace it.
That when it's pouring and I'm just laying in bed all tucked in, it just really sounds nice.
It's the best. And when it happens on a weekend, you just really enjoy it. Like, whoa, that's great. That's great. So what sound or noise do you hate?
Slamming doors.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's never fun.
There's no reason for it.
Yeah, that's true. That's not a good thing. What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
I think I would have liked to have been a veterinarian.
Oh, so big animal lover.
I love animals.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All kinds? Or is it a dog? Or?
Well, I'm a dog lover. I have a cat too. Mm-hmm. But you know what it is? I started watching all these shows on Animal Planet because I leave that on for Harley when I go to work.
Aww.
And there's all these animal vet shows like Dr. Jeff. And I mean, they're just, you know, and they're fun.
Yeah.
So I think, well, you know, that would have been a career that I would have enjoyed.
I like that one. I love it. I love it. And what profession would you not like to do?
Well, I know I wouldn't want to be a dentist. That was a good one, Abby.
Yeah. Yeah.
I, you know, honestly, as much as I love our public servants, mm-hmm. I would not want to be a politician.
I'm with you. That would not be
I would not want to be a city council person. I would
like none of it.
You will never have to worry about me running for public office.
There you go. There you go.
There
good,
I've said
good
it.
To note. And if heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
Welcome.
Ah, that's pretty simple and profound all in one. I love it. I love it. Well, I thank you so much for being here as well. It's been my joy and pleasure because when I can connect with wonderful people that maybe I haven't met you yet or get to know those that I do even more, it's always a joy. And I think sharing your stories is the biggest gift because there's so many listeners out there and folks in the Valley and outside of the Valley that can take so many of the nuggets that you shared with us. So thank you for that. And if folks want to connect with you, Lena, what's the best way to do that?
We too have a website, phoenix.bizjournals.com.
Okay.
My email is ilowry@bizjournals.com.
Perfect.
So yeah, or Twitter or Facebook or
all the fun social stuff.
Yeah.
All the fun social stuff. And one last question for each of you, speed round. If you had one piece of advice, this is the leadership lowdown. So the one piece of advice that you would love to leave listeners, what would that be? We'll start with Abby.
Pay attention to your surroundings.
Mm-hmm.
Ask a lot of questions mm-hmm. and don't be afraid to make mistakes.
I love it. Great. How about you, Elena?
Well, since we didn't get a chance to talk about it, I think mine would be surround yourself with mentors
mm-hmm.
and with people that you trust.
Yes.
And again, you know, and don't be afraid to use them.
Yeah.
You know, they're
absolutely.
They're you know, they've, you know, learn from their mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Let them help you. Let them guide you.
Yep. Learn from others.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that is a good point. We talked about Mentoring Monday and we didn't even get to dive deep, but there's so many great events that the Phoenix Business Journal does. And being a part of Mentoring Monday for so many years now has been such a pleasure for me and watching young minds come together with seasoned veterans mm-hmm. and having those dialogues is just priceless. So the work that you do in not only the publication, but those offerings for our community are priceless. So thank you for the work you do. And of course, same to you, being able to share these stories is what we need and I believe the Valley deserves. So thank you for the great work that you do.
Thank you.
And for those of you that are new to the Leadership Lowdown, we are thrilled to have you listening and sharing the stories of Valley leaders, their rise to the top, and obviously the struggles that they've been through. So thank you both for being here. Thank you to our listeners. And of course, you've been listening to the Leadership Lowdown, and that's hosted by me, Jody Lowe, and powered by You and Improved. If you're not familiar with You and Improved, we partner with companies' leadership to develop their most valuable asset, their people. And to learn more about our personal and professional development classes and trainings, visit youandimproved.com, or you can contact me at Jody, J-O-D-I, at youandimproved.com. Until next time, thank you all for being here. Thank you to our guests, and we look forward to talking to you soon.